Hello and welcome to episode 14 of Plain Talking. In this special Easter edition, we'll hear from someone who has left Southeast London for the UK's smaller city in Southwest Wales, home to an ancient cathedral. I'm delighted now to be joined by the Reverend Sheridan James, the new canon pastor at St David's Cathedral in Pembrokeshire. Croeso, Sheridan.
Diolch yn fawr, diolch.
Lovely to see you with us. So Sheridan, before we talk about your new role in the cathedral, I know you've just moved to take up this role. You had to move from South London. That's a heck of a gap from South London to West Wales. So what's it been like?
Well, I've lived in London for 24 years, so a big chunk of my adult life. But I lived for 10 years in Aberystwyth, so I had a little bit of a sort of West Walian feel to my life between kind of 18 and 27. But it's a massive, massive jump. So, for example, my parish in South London was 16,000 people, and my parish here is 1,600. In my congregation in London, there were probably about 10 or 11 national languages, week in, week out, and about 5 major nationalities represented. Whereas here, I'm sprucing up my Welsh, but my congregation is mainly British. My congregation in South London had moved all around the world. And my congregation here, you know, people think that their grandparents live far away if they live in Haverford West, you know. So it's a different scale. But in some ways, I've recognised, it's kind of obvious in some ways, that people are people are people. And what binds you is a little bit of shared humour, a little bit of a shared story. We're all connected in some way, whether that's through a love of God or a love of dogs, or your auntie went to the same school as I did, you know. So I'm always looking for connections. And in my first week, I met somebody who was baptized at the church in London where I did my curacy. That's kind of an odd sort of connection. And then a few people who live in St David's, but who have children who live in Tannadgoff Hill, which was my parish in London. So there's all these little networks that connect you up. I personally am a bit of a city girl with a country heart. And so I like some country activities like bird watching and walking and a little bit of gardening. So, you know, I'm enjoying exploring those sorts of things. But I also enjoy small town life as well. So I like going up to the butchers in St David's and over to the delicatessen and having a chat. And I feel like even after 6 weeks, a lot of people know who I am, and I enjoy all of that. And when I lived in London, in a sense, I tried to set up my London life like a village. And here in the smaller city in Britain, I'm trying to sort of create connections and make friends. But it is different. It's very different. There's no getting away from that. But it is amazing to be able to jump in the car and be at White Sands Beach in 5 minutes and do that 2 or 3 times a week. That is amazing. But sometimes I miss the hustle and bustle. And I miss the diversity, you know, I miss the diversity of different nations and colours and creeds.
Well, I'm already jazzed. You mentioned White Sands Beach. Sheridan, I'm already there. Can imagine it. So you're the new canon pastor.
Yeah.
So for those of us who we may know what kind of, we've heard the word title vicar or priest or minister or...
Yeah.
Or even canon, but a canon pastor. What does a canon pastor do, Sheridan?
Yeah, so my full title is canon pastor for parish and pilgrims. And I suppose the word to focus on maybe is pastor, because maybe that's a word we can get our heads into a bit more. So I think the canon pastor does the kind of things you'd expect a vicar to do. Lead services, preach, preside, do parish visiting, baptisms, weddings, funerals, and build up parish life, so build up the community life in the church. So that's half my job. And then the other half is to be a pastor to the pilgrims. So 300,000 pilgrims come every year to St David's, so that's effectively the population of Cardiff coming to St David's every year. Obviously, I can't make a connection with every one of those, but it's my brief to think about their visitor experience, to think about, sometimes they might come in groups and I might work with the pilgrimage officer to organise retreat days and pilgrimages, and just to keep the notion of pilgrimage high in the diocese, high across Wales. So that's the second half of my job. So some people will interact with me very much like they would a vicar, And in some ways, I'm trying to be a good vicar here. But other people will just have this glancing experience of me, but it's around welcome and holy hospitality and spiritual encounter.
Well, on that theme of pilgrimage, Sheridan, I think I'm right in saying that there's a new partnership that's emerging between St. David's or maybe Pembrokeshire and a part of Ireland. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so that's the Wexford Pembrokeshire Pilgrim's Path. So they've reconstructed an ancient path. So the group is called Ancient Connections. And then they've reconstructed a path from Wexford in Ireland to St. David's in Pembrokeshire. And some of it is using the coastal path in Pembrokeshire, but some of it is rebuilt part of the path. And it's brand new. It's only launched this year. And about 400 people have made that journey already. But it's hoped that it would become not as massive as Santiago de Compostela, but, you know, a major pilgrimage route. And this year is an important year at the cathedral because it's 900 years since Pope Calixtus said that two pilgrimages to St. David's was worth one pilgrimage to Rome. And so it's 900 years since then. So it's a year of pilgrimage, and there's events all the way through the year to mark that. And you can see all of that on the website. But that's, you know, really exciting to mark such a historic occasion. And it's interesting that as there's a decline in church going, let's say, there's a increase in interest in pilgrimage and the spirituality of making a journey. You know, there's a lot of interest around that. And some people might do that with an expressly Christian perspective, and others a well-being perspective or spiritual small s or searching or seeking. But it's fascinating how we grow and develop as people when we make an intentional journey.
Well, on the theme of journeys and pilgrimages, Sheridan, we're building up to Easter, which for all churches of all kinds, busy time of the year and a deeply meaningful time of the year. And especially so, I would imagine, for a cathedral. What does Easter look like in St. David's?
Well, so we would mark Holy Week and Easter, in some sense, is similar to any Anglican parish church. So there'd be a service every day, sometimes two services every day. But I think perhaps what's different is the scale and the amount of people that will attend. So we might have 500 at each of the Easter Sunday services. And also the scale of, say, for example, on Good Friday, we do Stations of the Cross from the town into the cathedral. And we walk from the centre of town slowly down into the cathedral, marking the 14 Stations of the Cross. And, you know, it's so atmospheric to walk a path that thousands of pilgrims have walked, you know, since the Middle Ages, and to have that sense of marking Good Friday, not just in the company of those you're currently with, but, you know, the sort of company of saints from historically. So I think what's special is the location and the atmosphere of the cathedral that adds to the drama of Holy Week and Easter, that just takes it up another notch. Even though I'm here every day, day in, day out, it just has an incredible holy feeling. And the Celts talk about a thin place between heaven and earth. And St. David's just has that. And even though I'm there day in, day out, and you might think I might get used to it or it becomes slightly pedestrian, it doesn't. And there's an incredible atmosphere there of prayer and holiness and a sense of the Holy Spirit, but the sense of somehow the awesomeness and the intimacy of God all at the same time. And that's partly the architecture, the light, the music. But sometimes it can be like that with almost all the lights switched off and there's no one in there. And it's almost like a beating heart of prayer. And I think to experience Holy Week in that context is just an incredible privilege, but a beautiful spiritual experience.
And finally, Brother David Jardine has a word or two to say about New York City, boxing, and the patron saint of Ireland.
I had the great privilege of working in New York City, in Brooklyn, for 3 years from 1985 to 1988. It was an exciting time of my life. One of the two churches that I worked in was a Spanish-speaking congregation. I was brushing shoulders with people from every country in Central and South America. One particular day stands out in my memory. It was in June 1985. We had conducted the weekly service in Spanish, held on a Saturday afternoon in a senior citizen center. Later that afternoon, there was a very special event. Barry McGuigan from Northern Ireland was boxing in London for the world featherweight title against Eusebio Pedrosa from Panama, the champion. The fight was broadcast live in America, so after our service was over, I went with some Hispanic men to an apartment to watch the fight. They, of course, were all cheering for Pedrosa. I was the only one supporting Barry McGuigan. For an Irishman 3,000 miles from home, it was a moving moment when, before the fight, Barry's father, a professional singer, sang Danny Boy. Even better was to come when Barry won the contest and became world champion. In the midst of the troubles in Northern Ireland, these moments of sporting success lifted people's spirits, and mine as well, in New York. Something that I didn't realize until years later was a particular way that Barry prepared himself for the fight. He told this story in his autobiography. He knew that psychologically there would be an awful lot of pressure on him. The expectations of people at home were high, and the half of Ireland seemed to have made their way to Queen's Park Rangers football ground, where the fight took place. So what did Barry do? He learned a prayer off by heart, and he started repeating it to himself before he left the dressing room. As he moved towards the ring, everybody wanting to pat him on the back, he kept his head down and just repeated that prayer over and over again into himself, even when he got up into the ring. It seemed to keep him calm, because I could see from very early on that he was going to win. All Barry was doing was tapping into a very ancient form of Christian spirituality, practicing the presence of God, staying in touch with God all of our waking hours, and inviting Him into everything that we do. This tradition goes back to St. Patrick in the 5th century. There's still a great deal of doubt as to where Patrick was born, but it's generally accepted that at the age of 16, he was snatched from somewhere in the British mainland by Irish marauders and brought back to Ireland. He was kept for 5 years as a slave, tending sheep on Slemish Mountain, 30 miles north of Belfast. In the account that he wrote of his life, that period of slavery was obviously very tough for a young boy. He said that he prayed 100 times a day and as many times at night. What that says to me is that Patrick couldn't sleep, so he spent his time praying. Then after 5 years, he felt that God guided him to escape and make his way to France by boat. There he trained to be a priest, and later received a clear call from God to go back to Ireland and become the apostle of the Irish people. He made such an impact in the 5th century that 1,500 years later, we still celebrate his life every year on the 17th of March. There are many lessons to be learned from Patrick's life, but one of the most important, I believe, is the way he practiced the presence of God, stayed in touch with God all of his waking hours, and invited God into everything. When I practice that, not only does life go far better, it actually comes alive in a completely new way, and it gives someone like Barry McGuigan great strength at a very pressurized time. So at this season, I want to leave the last word with St. Patrick, some words from his breastplate, which in verse explains some of his most important spiritual principles. Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me. Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed this edition of Plain Talking. If you have, please subscribe to it and leave a review. Plain Talking is sponsored by The Plain Truth, a magazine of understanding. For more information, please visit plain-truth.org.uk. That's it for now, until the next podcast drops. So God bless from us all at Plain Talking.